This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that showcases organizations and people who aren't only concerned about profits. Host Vicki Bolson is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company located in Indianapolis. Bolson Group was the first B Corp certified company in Indiana, but Vicki understands that you don't have to be certified in corporate social responsibility in order to use business as a force for good. Join Vicki as she talks about why it is always worthwhile to take care in business.
Oh my gosh, I am going to love this interview. And what I did in order to make sure this interview works is I think my dogs like me doing this podcast more because they keep getting these chew sticks whenever I have a taping. So I literally just gave them chomps. And because we've taped a few episodes this week, they're really living on the high life right now. But anyway, our guest today is one of my favorite people. She is so fun and she's so smart. And I love her name. Her real name is Mary Beth Cohart, but I call her MBK, MBK. So hi, MBK.
Victoria, hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. And I don't know if I told Lacey this, but I want to air this episode during March or at the end. We've already talked about, like, we're going to push International Women's Day to the end of March, or because it's International Women's Month in March.
Yes. Yes.
So we're going to push some of our episodes to the end of that month because it's also B Corp month. And we want to celebrate both, but we, yeah. So anyway, you are going to air as part of our international women, like, profiles.
Pretty awesome. Cool, huh? Yes. Very cool. Well, thank you for having me, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. And if people could see you, go watch on Instagram one of our clips of us talking, since you're only listening to us right now. Mary Beth is, what is your flaming red hair? I think I know exactly where you're from, but can you tell us?
Oh, my lineage?
Yes, your lineage.
You know what? Interestingly enough, I am 50% Macedonian, okay. Which is northern Greece, geographically the village that my dad was born there. And then the other a quarter English, a quarter German. So that's my lineage. So,
wow. I really thought you were like Scottish, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, so
Irish. A lot of people think Irish too. So yeah. But no,
you're right. Okay. Zero. Well, you look it. So you look very international. So anyway. Okay. So I don't even know where to start with MBK. I want to talk to you about the fact that you were my commercial real estate broker, helped me with Bolson Group. And it was just so cool working with you because it's such a male dominated field, you know, I mean, and now, so I want to talk about that, but I also think it's so cool that you are, you know, shifting gears and starting another company.
Yes.
And I want to talk about that and why you're doing that. So it's all the stuff I want to talk about. Let's first talk about the commercial real estate side. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, what is it like? It's gotta be like 70% male dominated in that industry.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I would think easily. I can tell you, cause that crew, which is Commercial Real Estate Women, their network, they do a good survey every year that kind of looks at that. If you really narrow in on brokers and brokerage, which was the area that I worked on, I think it's easily probably closer to 80% is male, and, or I'm sorry, not 80, that equals to your 20%, but I would say like 90%. So yeah.
Are you kidding?
I would.
Wow.
This is anecdotal, Vicki. So, I mean, I can get you the real stat, but I know just for instance, when I started in brokerage, I mean, I was in a department and I think we had maybe 10 or 12 brokers. I was the only woman. And in the industrial group, that was the same thing. They probably had, you know, 10 to 12 male brokers, and there was only one woman. And then for a period of time, she left there, and then they had no women. Just that stat alone. So very consistently all male.
Gosh, well, you were such a rock star. I always felt so cool walking into, you know, look at spaces with you, and you just got us in there and walked around. I mean, it was fun. We had so much fun. I don't know. Is that how we met? We didn't meet because of that. I mean, I think you were introduced to me another way.
Yeah, we didn't meet because of that. Helen introduced us and just said, you guys need to meet. And, you know, you're both like awesome women, and I just think you'll really enjoy each other. So that's really how we met, was more through that. And then just obviously clicked, because I have, the same admiration. I have a high admiration for you doing your thing. And like, I mean, running this firm and just all the different aspects of your career and just being a strong person. I mean, so I have always admired that, because it takes a lot to keep all those balls in the air, and a family. I mean, by the way,
because you do the same thing. I mean, you're a wife and a mother and a good friend to people. So, okay. So you did this rock star career, and I remember you telling me at one of our lunches or something about an idea you had. And I thought, oh God, that's so cool. Just such an entrepreneurial minded woman. And now you're doing it. You are doing this. And and the thing that is so cool is that I always called you MBK, and her company is called MBK, which is so fun. Yeah. So I'm going to let you tell everybody what your company is and just kind of why, I mean, as personal as you want to go about why you're starting this company.
Okay. Well, so yes. So the name of the company is MBK Wear. And you're right, Vicki. I mean, it's literally been probably close to 12 years since I've been kind of carrying this torch. And so the background on it is that I am a type 1 diabetic. And so type 1 diabetics are insulin dependent. So it's an autoimmune disease that renders your pancreas not able to produce insulin. And so you have to rely on either shots or a pump. And so I am on a pump, and in that, it's just very, I found it kind of uncomfortable. I was on I was on a pump at the time that had a tubed system. And so you just had to find a spot to put this, like, all, you know, as you're dressing. So, a lot of times you'll see people clip it on their waistband, or I a lot of times would put it in my bra, like clip to my bra. Or, just trying to find, shove it down in your underwear. I mean, just a lot of places to try and put this pump. And I personally just never really liked to have it out in the open for a number of reasons. One, I was just always afraid of getting caught on things, because the tubing, you know, is attached to your body and then would sit on the outside. And then two, it's just not an aesthetically pleasing looking, you know, device. And so, so I really just started thinking about it, looking at it, noodling on it, and just saw that there wasn't really a lot of options for women or men, really, as it relates to adaptive clothing for diabetics. And so that's what, 10, 12 years ago, I had started down this path and had initially started out working on swimsuits, because for me, that was, I mean, you don't, like, quote unquote, have a lot of real estate to work with. And so I've kind of shelved that idea. I'm not going to give up on it, but the other garment was pajamas. And so that's what I'm working on specifically now is adaptive pajamas. And they have this ability to house all of the different devices that you need. So you have glucose monitors, you have your pump, and the glucose monitors today, like they feed to your phone. So the pump is also about maybe the size of a deck of cards. And so, you would have these two devices to kind of keep you perking. And so, and then the key benefit is that there is what they call a welt. So it's like, if you're familiar with like a welt on a men's lapel, that would be like where you put a boutonniere.
I didn't know that's what that was called. Oh, okay.
And so that, so there's a system of welts that allows somebody to be able to thread the tubing through or integrate the tubing through your clothing. And so that's super important because, you know, you have the ability to conceal it and, but get access to it. And it's tucked away nice and safe. And then you have the ability to, you know, put your phone, you know, in these pockets that are big enough, which actually, I mean, really, if you think about it in the society that we live in today, that, that there's universal appeal to that. You don't have to be a diabetic to enjoy that. But
exactly.
So that's what I've been working on.
Yeah. And I have seen pictures, I've seen the materials, and I can tell you that these are some sharp pajamas. I mean, they're not just for diabetics.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, you know, hopefully, I mean, they're 100% cotton. So I've been working with, they're a Pima cotton. So a very high quality, like shirting material. And so I've got my men's patterns almost complete. I have my women's patterns done. My men's patterns are almost complete. And then I should be getting my, my samples probably end of February. And so I'm targeting to, launch, will probably be like around May-ish, you know? So that's the plan.
I'm so excited for you. There's nothing like thinking about doing something for a really long time and then it's actually happening, you know?
Yeah.
And in true Mary Beth form, you have approached it very smartly too. I know you went and how did you get IU to give you this research? They did, you know, your MBK wear as their research project. So you got all this amazing research. How did you become the recipient of that?
Yeah. So huge shout out to two organizations as it relates to that. So the first is the Startup Ladies. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's a great organization. And Vicki, it would be a good one to interview for National Women's Day.
It would be.
Yeah. But Kristen Cooper is really the driving force behind that. And she and I have known each other a long time just through business. And so I reconnected with her, joined Startup Ladies, and then that kind of reconnected me to Professor Kim Saxton at Value School of Business. And I had met Kim, I sit on the Dean's Council for the business school. And so I had known her and it was just really good to reconnect with her too. And so she, through Startup Ladies, you know, said, hey, I've got my MBA class coming on, you know, on this fall. And would you be willing to pitch in my class? You know, they may pick you, they may not. There was another company that they had the opportunity to listen to as well. And so they picked my organization, which was awesome. And they just did a great job of putting together market research to really inform me of kind of like my market segment. And then, you know, the proof of concept, because that was the other part of it too. You know, you can have this great idea. And, you know, I, as a diabetic have had this issue, particularly again, like sleepwear and think, oh, it's the greatest idea. But it was really good because we were able to do some market research and survey work that said, yes, other people are having issues with this. And so there might be a reason to continue moving forward with it. So that obviously has given me the encouragement to press on. So
what kind of reaction did you get from the survey?
It was very interesting because, and again, I'm not a market research expert, but just in talking with Kim, it was, I would say like 50% of the people basically said that they had an interest all the way up to like, I would buy this product definitively. And so what she found was interesting is that as people took the survey, they would say, no, I'm good. And then you would say this, you know, are you having this problem or that problem or this problem? And then here's the concept. So that's kind of the way the research questionnaire unfolds. Yeah. And so then once people were asked those questions, like, yes, I'm having this problem. Yes, I'm having that problem. No, this isn't comfortable. And then like, oh, here's the concept. They were like, yeah, okay. And so like, it was like people hadn't even thought of that as a solution, if that makes sense. And so, and I just think we're like, as a diabetic, you're just so used to kind of just dealing the hand that you've been dealt. Like, and so, you know, so you just kind of roll with it and it is what it is. And I think just conceptually, like providing an option that could make life more comfortable. Because that's, I mean, that's my goal. Like, you know, I really am interested in making sure that I listen. And that's why this market research was just so important to me, because I want to listen. I want to, you know, put together something that's helpful for people. I don't need to go sell something just to sell something. You know, I'm doing this because I want to be a solution to a problem with a group of people who I identify with, because I have that same problem. And so that's what motivates me to do this. And then if I think beyond this, if, you know, pajamas are successful, then I would figure out, okay, what's the next garment or thing that I can do to help people solve this issue. So that's kind of the, I don't know, kind of the genesis of all of it, if you will.
I love that, you know, it's not about, you know, I wanted to always be a fashion designer, you know. Yeah. It's that literally, yeah, you're designing something for a certain market that really could use this and make their life easier and happier. And I would think, just like you said, more comfortable. I've never had an ongoing health problem where, you know, I've had to think about it every day, you know, of, yeah, my life, or even regularly. And so it's hard to imagine, you know, the simple thing of not having the kind of clothes that make, yeah, it easy for you to, you know, do this. I mean, and you do a good job of hiding it, but I bet it's no easy task, because you're a sharp dresser. I mean, I've seen you in suits. I've seen you in, you know, and there, I never see it. I mean, not that I would care. And I don't think that anybody would really care, but, you know, you want to be able to tote it around and like you said, safely, not have it causing problems.
Yeah.
I never even thought about something like that, you know, but that's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a very legitimate thing. I mean, cause like not my current house, because we renovated and I fixed this problem, but this is going to sound so strange, but like in your kitchen, like if you have the right kind of handles, like I would get my pump caught on that in my pajamas a lot, because you and it grabs it. And, you know, I mean, it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it can hurt, cause you're ripping this thing out of your skin if you are. And I walk fast. I tend to, you know, cruise around my home front really with vigor. And so
that is so funny. You are a fast walker, now that I think about that. That's cause you got lots to get done, Mary Beth.
I mean, we got stuff to do.
Things to do, places to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I did some research. I got to find this. I pulled, I just was Googling like how many people have, you know, type 1 diabetes. Yep. And, I found this really great, hold on if I can find it, this really great sheet that talked about US versus UK versus Canada. And then I was like, well, why is it different? You know, like the numbers are not wildly different, but yeah. I'm like, what? Can you speak to that a little bit? Because I know that the numbers of people with diabetes is going up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's increasing, you know, year over year. What is that about?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like there, and again, if you look at the numbers, and I've seen things range anywhere from like 32 to 34 million people are in the United States are considered diabetic. And, but the thing that you have to remember is type 1 is different than type 2. And yeah. So, type 2 is a lot of times what they'll call lifestyle, you know, disease. So it's the one that's more, you're physiologically, your body is still producing insulin. So you still have the ability to make insulin, but what is going on is that your body is less sensitive to the insulin. So, you know, like if you eat, you know, 15 grams of carbs, it's going to take more insulin to take care of converting that sugar into a usable form, because that's insulin's a hormone. And so it's a hormone that circulates to unlock the glucose into a usable form. So making it usable for your body from a standpoint of energy. So that's what it does. So if you're a type 2, you have more you need more insulin. And so interestingly enough, I mean, I know this because I mean, I see it on my glucose monitors and I can see how my, you know, stress affects you, lack of exercise affects you. So if you're exercising and you're very good about that, like you're more sensitive to your insulin. You know, I mean, it's just interesting. You can also see by eating certain foods, I can very clearly see how it affects your system. You know, like if I were to, I don't, but if you were to have a cup of soda that was fully leaded, I mean, you can truly just see your blood sugar shoot up because I have no coverage of insulin naturally coming, right? If I have to mechanically duplicate what the body does in terms of figuring out the right amount of insulin to dose. And so that, you know, you become sort of a mini dietitian because you have to understand how that impacts your food and how food impacts your body. And then there's just a lot of factors that you do automatically, as a diabetic, I should probably rephrase it. There's a lot of things you do as a non-diabetic that you don't realize your body's taking care of for you. So, but to get back to your question, more directly, then if you look at that, you know, the number of type 1 diabetics and of that, you know, 30 some million people, again, I've seen it range anywhere from 4 million to 8 million. It kind of depends on what study you're looking at. Again, in the United States, you would think this would be very granular and there wouldn't be these wide ranges. But in general, diabetes, whether it's type 1 or type 2, is increasing. And then there's this thing that happens with type 2s is that they actually, over a period of time, can start to become a type 1. Like they literally will kind of burn out their pancreas. So their pancreas just gives out because it, you know, there's different medicines that will make it produce more insulin. And then the pancreas will just fail after a period of time. And then they become a type 1. And, you know, there was a statistic I read like that maybe is around like 2% of, you know, type 2 diabetics on an annual basis go through that phenomena. So
only 2%? That seems pretty, I mean, not that it's good, but that seems pretty low. So that's good.
Yeah. But in terms of the disparity from one country to another country of diabetes, I mean, one might think that a lot of it is more centered around type 2 diabetics, which is truly more of a lifestyle disease, which, you know, again, if you think about the tendencies of America's intake and food, I do think that we probably tend to be more processed, tend to be less, you know, prone to exercise, you know, so more sedentary lifestyle. Like those are all the things that would contribute in my mind's eye in terms of why one population versus another population might be. And then there's also, you know, as it relates to some of the studies I've looked at, there are differences between different races. So, you know, like, you know, Asian descent might have less versus say Hispanic descent. And I don't know a lot about that, but I do know that it tends to genetically kind of track with certain population groups. So
I did read that. And, I mean, that's like a health podcast, but it's interesting. Yeah. I'm pointing out these numbers mainly because it just shows that there's a need, you know, there's definitely a need for what you're doing. And not just for the patients themselves, but the family members of those people. In fact, you know what? I have a college girlfriend coming tomorrow to stay with me. Yeah. She's here from Atlanta visiting because she put her mom into assisted living last year and her mom has diabetes. And so I am going to tell her all about these.
Yeah.
NVK wear. Yes. If I have your, another customer. I'll get some some feedback and input from her about what she has to say and pass it on. She's a really good friend, and I think she will. I think I know what she'll say. I think she'll be like, I cannot believe it, finally.
Yeah, you know? Something. I mean, she might find like because a lot of people too, like if they wear a glucose monitor, the continuous glucose monitors, they, you know, you can, like if her mom's in assisted living, she might be watching her mom's glucose monitors to help out with things, you know, so like you can, you can share that with people.
And, like on an app or something she can watch so she can just make sure, like if she needs to alert a nurse or something.
Yeah. And so like, you know, that's where I think like, okay, these pajamas are good because you can, you know, you can put your phone. Yeah, you're not going to sleep with your phone, but as you're recreating around your house, I mean, people have a tendency to wear their pajamas more and more with, you know, the few years. And so it's nice to have, you know, sort of those pockets to be able to put the device in so that you, you know, as you're recreating around the home, you've got that handy. So.
Where do you want to be with this, with MBK Wear in 2, 5, 10 years?
Well, my hope would be, you know, in two years that the brand would be really well established as it relates to pajamas, right? And so I'd want that. And I would hope that I could start to move on to that next garment. So that's what I would hope. I'd also hope that I have the ability to make this profitable so I can really pursue sort of the give back part of the business, because that's also something that I wanted to do in terms of being able to take some of the margins and then dedicate it to like different groups that are, you know, in research or development or just general diabetic awareness. So that would be something that I would hope that I can do that. You know, as a startup, there's a lot of cost to getting it going. And so to, you know, I'm not really in a position right now to be able to do that, but those would be my long-term aspirations. Yeah.
That's so interesting about the give back. We, on our first episode back with Lacey as our new producer, we talked about our hopes for the podcast. And one of those is we wanted to establish some kind of awards or grants or something like that. And that's my goal by the end of the year. But like you said, just starting a podcast is hard enough to make it generate some kind of revenue so we can do that. But what would be really cool is to be able to do, if we did the grants, this is all coming to me right now as we're talking, so that we could give perhaps a, you know, grant money to businesses that are also doing good things like research for, you know, the underlying mission of their company, you know, diabetic research or something like that. So I love that. And I remember you telling me when way back that you wanted to do a give back if you ever did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so you said 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Are you still doing commercial real estate at the same time?
I am. Yeah. But, you know, just more on a limited basis, you know, just, I mean, with past clients or select new clients, I am. So, I mean, I still really love real estate. I just, I do. I think it's a real, you know, it's been a great career. It's been good to me. But I just am interested in keeping my hand in it, but not having it necessarily at this juncture. Particularly with my son still home, you know, I've been really getting a lot of energy from pursuing this dream and doing this, you know, so it's just so different. And, you know, I mean, it's just good to, I don't know, just try something different. I like stretching myself. I like, you know, I like taking risk and doing things. And so, this gives me that opportunity. And again, I don't really want to ever give up on real estate. I never will do that. Maybe at some point in time, you know, I go back to it. I don't know. I kind of want to just take this one to as far as I can take it and see what happens and go from there. So.
Yep. Okay. Well, if anybody wants to contact Mary Beth about real estate, they go to Mary Beth Cohart. I mean, basically, it's just like right there when you type in your name.
Yeah.
And how do people get in touch with you if they want to talk to you about when MBK Wear is launching? Tell people where they can subscribe to your newsletter and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. So I have my website, you know, www.mbkwear.com. And then I'm getting ready to launch like a Instagram and also a Facebook. I've got those pages set up, but right now you'll see that there's no content. So I'm in the process of putting together kind of the story of what we're, you know, what I'm up to. And then, you know, the updates on like when I have, you know, garments to actually have people try. And so that will be coming. Stay tuned. So March might be a great time, Vicki, to post this, because I'll be, you know, getting ever so close to having stuff, you know, manufactured and coming out. My samples will be done by then. So that will be good.
That's what I was thinking too. I want to make sure that there's a call to action when people are listening, because I think that you're going to sell out really quickly. People are going to want to be Johnny on the spot if they're interested at all. And there's a low hanging fruit of a target market out there. So
yeah,
I know you're going to do it, MBK. You're the best. You have approached it very wisely. You know, every step of the way, everything you've told me you've done, it's like, wow, good job. Good job. I mean, it's hard though. I mean, like when I started this business, it was like things I never knew I was going to have to do, you know?
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's bizarre. It's very, I mean, it is, but then at the same token, it's just like, you know, after I had gotten all the research back from the MBA class and it really just affirmed kind of the concept, if you will, and just pressing forward and doing it. Cause there's, you know, like, again, like, I mean, my entire life, my entire professional identity has been in and around real estate. And so, you know, like, it's funny because people will ask me today, like, oh, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so there's a whole nother conversation about, you know, like, I mean, really, you know, like, what do you put your identity in? And like, you know, like, and to me, like, I think like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I really enjoy trying new and different things and don't want to be confined to just one thing, even though that's what I did for years and years. And I still can do it, you know, I mean, but, I don't know. We'll see. It was funny when I've been working with a production manager up in Chicago. So she's been helping me. And so there was a question, we were at the pattern makers and she was asking me a question about something. Do you want this or that? And I'm like, well, I don't know. And she's like, well, you're the designer. And I'm like, oh yeah, I am.
I am. I'm the designer. No, it's, yeah, that's, it's a big shift, a big change from, yeah, you know, this to that. But I think it's so cool that you can do two different things like that. You're an inspiration. You yeah. are an inspiration, and I know you're gonna make it work. So, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Vicki. And it's so awesome what you're doing too. Is just, I mean, you know, bringing different things to light, making people aware of what you know that you can make, you know, your business about something other than just making money, right? I mean, trying to do it and knock on wood, that's what my intention would be with this, is that, you know, helping to serve a population that obviously I identify with as it relates to diabetes. And then, you know, beyond that, hoping to really continue to make, you know, adaptive clothing. So.
Awesome. Thanks, Mary Beth.
All right. Thank you. All right. I will see you later, you guys.
Thank you for joining us today on Taking Care in Business. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can always follow along with us by subscribing at takingcareinbusiness.com. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in Biz. B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for joining us today. And until next time, take care in business.